Got your Bible, let's open up to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And what a blessing to be in the house of God this morning. Thank the Lord for it. If you're able to and you can, you find that place, you stand with us. We'll try to read the Word of God and try to be a blessing. I appreciate everybody praying for us this week, and particularly from Wednesday night on, really just been feeling a lot better. And I appreciate the Lord. You pray for us, Lord, help us. And just thank the Lord for it. I don't know for your life, and I'm not the expert on what the will of God is for somebody else, but I'm going to say this. When you're not able to do what you feel like God wants you to do, it sure makes you thankful for the times you were. And this might be the last message I ever preach, and if it is, I'm preaching it on one of my favorite chapters in this whole Bible, Luke 7. The Bible says, we'll start in verse 31, and the Lord said, I like anything that starts like that. And the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation, and to what are they like? Like the children sitting in the marketplace, calling one to another, saying, we've piped unto you, and you've not danced. We've mourned to you, and you've not wept. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. Yet you say, he hath a devil. Son of man's come eating and drinking. You say, behold, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Amen. But wisdom is justified of all her children. Heavenly Father, bow our head before you one more time. And to God, what a blessing it is to get to stand here today. And to God, no doubt one that I've taken for granted many times in my life. Our God just felt like, Lord, there'd be many more times. But Lord, I sure appreciate God, you letting us stand this day. I'd ask you for a few minutes of time. And God, you'd help us to preach under the power and to God, the unction of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, God, that the words of an almighty God would reach right down to where folks are living. I pray, God, not just be tinkling cymbals and nor sounding brass, but I pray that the almighty presence of God would take the word of God and deliver it safely. I ask you, Lord, one more time. If this is the last time I ever get a stand, I pray help it to be the best time. I pray help us to mind you the best we ever had. And God, I pray, Lord, take away every foolish thought in my mind and to help me stay real close to the scripture. I love you, Lord, tonight. I bless your high and holy name. In Christ's name, I humbly beg and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily in that phrase in verse 34. And the Bible says that he was a friend of the publicans and the sinners. I thought, thank God, what a friend we have in Jesus. I mean, can you imagine, listen, friend, can you imagine that it's as if when the Lord says this, he must have known the conversation that had taken place inside the houses of these Pharisees and Sadducees. Can you imagine being in such a bad state and that you go home one day and you have just watched the God of heaven and touch some poor sinner, and instead of going and talking about the kind of help they got, all you can do is talk about the man that tried to help them. And can you imagine being in such a bad place in your life and that old friend, whenever somebody had the palsy and God reached down in mercy and he touched them, that instead of you being happy about what he done, you as much about the way he done it. That's what the Bible teaches us here. And you say, preacher, ain't nobody like that. Oh, listen, I'm afraid to say in our day there's still folks that not much interested in Christ helping sinners. Amen. But I want to preach on this salt today. If the Lord help me for a few minutes of time. These four sinners in Luke
chapter 7, and that Christ Jesus was interested in being their friend. I want to say to you, first of all, you find this in chapter 7, verse 4. He said, when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy of whom he should do this. The Bible said in verse 6, and Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, and the Bible says the centurion had sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself. He said, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. And verse 7, he said, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say it a word, and my servant shall be healed. I thought about first person we find as an old unworthy sinner. Everybody around him says this. He said he's a pretty good fella, but that's not his testimony. His testimony, Jesse, was he said this, I'm not worthy that you should come to me. And to thank God, and I ain't worthy to come to where you are. If you'd but just say a word. And you know what he found out? He found out, thank God, that Christ was a friend to unworthy sinners. And boy, we ought to stop right there and have a praise break. That there's a God in heaven that found us when we was unworthy and had mercy on our soul. And thank God came in and was willing to be our friend. Amen. Oh, listen, I thought about there's a lot of folk that could lift up their voice through the scripture and could testify about how God was a friend to unworthy sinners. And one of my favorite passages, Brother Foles, 2 Samuel chapter 9, old Mephibosheth over there, Brother John, and no doubt he could lift up his head and say there's a God in heaven that loves undeserving sinners. Amen. But you know what, maybe, I don't know this story, it always does get in my heart. I like Hosea chapter 3, maybe one of my favorite places, Lisa, in the Bible. I feel myself get excited whenever I start to get over in that place, because what I know is in chapter 1 and in chapter 2, I'm going to read about some of the worst things you'll ever read about. I'm going to read about how a lady, and my friend, just kept going out, had two illegitimate children, and kept going further and further into sin. But oh, there was a fellow over there named Hosea, and the word of God said, go down there. And he said, just buy her back. Yeah. Amen. And boy, in chapter number 3, you find herself, no doubt, her head's not lifted up in pride no more. She's not after her lovers no more. Standing there in that place with her head down, and they put her on an auction block, and she doesn't have not one friend except for the one that's a type of Christ. And thank God, as she stands there that day, and the bidding begins, and there's one who's willing to give more for her, and thank God, than what she was worth. I say, thank God, he's a friend to undeserving sinners. Amen. Don't you guess that's how we was? Amen. Now, I know everybody in this church, you've always been right with God. Amen. Always done right, always lived right, always said the right things. But boy, I'll tell you, I want you to understand there's some folks that they've been so religious, they ain't never got no real help from God. But they ain't nothing like being in a place and walking in and saying, man, God, I know I don't deserve for you to meet with me today. I know there's no reason you ought to pass by my way. I ain't lived good enough, and thank God the truth the matter is, I've done enough wrong, God ought not never even look my way. And then out of nowhere, the sweet presence of God comes by, and he reminds me that he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He reminds me, thank God, that greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. He reminds me one more time, that ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever things I say. And behold, I call you not servants, but I have called you friends. Amen. I mean, thank God. I'm glad you're my friend. But what about having a friend like Jesus today? Undeserving. Amen. Thank God. Look here. Listen to me. Everybody look up here at me. You ain't never added one thing to this friendship. He's never had to call you to ask for advice. He's never had to borrow money off of you. He's never needed a place to stay.
Yeah.
He's never needed a shoulder to cry on. He's never needed you to come to Him and say, let me tell you about my problems. Not one time. But boy, I'll tell you what kind of a friend He is. He's the kind of friend that's always giving but never receiving. And every time I've come to Him, I said, man, I'm sorry. You've been such a good friend to me, but I messed up one more time. And the God of heaven just says, you didn't deserve it, and you didn't deserve it the first time either. He said, but I'll still be your friend. Amen. I'm just saying this. Y'all leave me alone. What a blessing it is. And I have a friend like Christ today. Amen. He's a friend to undeserving sinners. And I find this, notice this real quick with me, if you will. Verses 11 and following. I'll not read them all, but I'll read verse number 12. You'll find there's a young man and he's dead in verse number 12. Now when he was come, that's speaking of Jesus, to the gate of the city, behold, there's a dead man carried out, the only son, the mother, and his widow, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her. And He said unto her, weep not. And He came and He touched the bier, that's a casket, and they that bare Him stood still. And He said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. I thought, thank God, I'm glad He's not just a friend to undeserving sinners, but He's a friend to unknowing sinners. Amen. This fella right here has no idea how good God is. He doesn't understand how close He is. He doesn't understand how caring He is. He doesn't understand how compassionate He is. He's dead and he has no idea. But boy, there's a day right here in this scripture that whenever death meets life, and whenever the casket going out that meets the life that's coming in, and even though he does not have any idea how good of a friend he is, he's about to find out. Amen. Oh, I thought how many times we come in the house of God and there's folks sit all over the house and they have no idea just how close and that help really is for them. They come and they sit around and they say, man, is it even real? Hey, you know what the reality is, Brother Kevin? Here's the reality. And David, this is the truth. There's so many folks that come in the house of God, and they're around so many folks that are fake Christians, and that they get to wondering if any of it's real. Hey, but I'm going to tell you this, thank God. It was a day on July 2nd, 1988, and that I was dead in my trespasses and sin. Had no idea how good Christ was. I didn't have any idea what a friend He was. Happened one day in my death, a life passed by and came to where I was. I'm going to tell you this, before the day was over, I knew it was real. Amen. Amen. Hey, so many folks come in the house of God. They look around, they see people, and they'll see them saying, look just like Eileen or whoever. They'll get to raising their hands. And listen, the truth of the matter is, look here, I want y'all to listen to me. We'd be probably deceiving ourselves if we thought that there was folks in here this morning that was everything they said they was. There's some folks that are going to leave here and they're going to go home. And when they're going to go home, their actions are going to be different.
Right.
And everybody around them is going to say, man, is this real?
Yeah.
So when they get into church, they're all smiles. They're all songs. They're all amens. I feel my help right there. Thank God.
Yeah.
And then they come in, they look at the preacher when he's preaching.
Yeah.
They say, I'm not sure I believe it. He probably goes home and beats his wife or something.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, they think that. They think, well, this ain't real. This ain't real. But I'm going to tell you something, thank God. It may not be real for everybody, but there's a time that a friend came down and stuck closer than a brother in my soul. It doesn't make any difference what you think about. I'm telling you, thank God. He's a God in heaven that'll make it real. Amen. I'm saying this, friend, you just don't have no idea. I thought about this fella right here. He's not moved by the toughness of his situation. He's not moved by the tears of his mama. But I'll tell you what does move him. The touch of an almighty God. Amen. Thank God when God comes by His way and touches him, He finds there's a friend to sinners. Amen. He's a friend. He's a good one too, ain't he? Let me stop right there. You smile at me on that. Amen. It'll hurt my feelings. He's a good friend. He's a friend to undeserving sinners. He's a friend to unknowing sinners. Boy, I like this. Verse number 19, John calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus and said, art thou he that should come?
See, he said, we look for somebody else. It says look for another. Here's what he goes on to say. Bible said, then Jesus answered and said, verse number 20, when the men were coming to him, they said, John the Baptist hath sent us, saying, art thou he that should come? We look for another. When the men were come, they said, John the Baptist hath sent unto, or in the same hour rather, he that cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits, and many of them that were blind he gave sight. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way and tell John what things you've seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to. Hey, listen to me, friend. I want to go on record as saying he's a good friend to uncertain sinners. Amen. Amen. Well, I love this story. You know what makes this story so real in my heart, Brother Bill, is the fact that there's a fella right here. Man, he's a better fella than anybody in here. But you know, I guess, Pat, when I read this, one of the things that stirs my heart, oh, John the Baptist said, I'm not sure. Now listen, this ain't just nobody. Y'all understand that? This ain't Demas that forsook him. Amen. This ain't Judas Iscariot. This is John the Baptist that looked out on the shore one day and said, behold the Lamb of God. Amen. This is the forerunner. The one that came in the spirit of Elijah. The one, thank God, look here, friend. I'm telling you, the one that had the power of God on him like nobody else had, amen. But he's unsure now. He says, I'm not sure if you're him or not. You know, and I got to thinking about how the Lord treated him. There's times in the disciples' lives when the disciples was unsure and the Lord upbraided them. He said, where's your faith? O ye of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? But not John. Didn't say, Hannah. He did not say one negative word to John. Not one. Go read it. Read it every place you can read it. And you'll find that no matter how many times that you read it, not one bad thing was said to John. Oh, just sit for a second. Let that sink in your heart. Oh, John's at a place in his life, and he said, I don't know if this is real. I don't know if you're him. I'm getting ready to die. I don't even know if it's going to be worth it. And the Lord just said, y'all go tell John. I got to thinking about what a good friend he is, Brother Benny. And I thought, whenever all I've got's questions, all he brings is answers. I'm about to preach myself happy. I took a 2-week break and I'm about to get happy again. Amen. I mean, you bring to him, look here, and I thought about how many times in my life I've just showed up to God and all I've had has been question after question. I thought he sent me back with answer after answer after answer. Never have I brought him a problem he didn't have the answer for it. Amen. Not one time, thank God, in all the times and I've ever showed up, said, I've got a problem. He said, I've got you. And listen, look here. I don't care how many times I preach it. You've got my word. As long as I'm in my right mind, every time I preach on this, I'm going to say these same words every single time. That the time when John said the worst thing about Christ, Christ said the best thing about John.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, that helps me. Brother Creston, he just said literally the worst thing he could have said. The worst. I don't even know if you're him. And in a time when John wasn't sure, Christ was sure.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not sure who you are. And he said, well, John, I'm sure who you are.
Amen.
He said, hey, why'd y'all go out to sea? A reed shaking in the wind? Men clothed in soft apparel? They that wear soft apparel, they're in palaces. He said, oh, no. He said, I'll tell you, among women, there's not born a greater, thank God, than John the Baptist. I'm saying this, thank God, ain't it a blessing to have a friend that even when you're doubting them, they're not doubting you, amen.
Amen.
I about shouted on that one. It's a blessing to be in a place where we got a friend like that. I want to give you last thing. You pray for us. Lord, help us right here. I want you to notice that whenever he comes to him and all he's got's doubt, all Jesus got surety. But then we find the last sinner. There's an unworthy sinner. There's an unknowing sinner. There's an uncertain sinner. But my favorite sinner in Luke chapter 7, she's an unwanted sinner. I thought, man alive. You know, it's easy to be a friend to somebody that's undeserving. It's easy sometimes, Jess. Whew. I'm talking about it's easy sometimes to be friends with somebody who's uncertain about you. It's easy to be friends with somebody who's unknowing. You probably tried to be kind to people and you didn't even want them to know about it. You was a friend to them. But what I love about the Lord is a friend to people that nobody else wants. Nobody wanted her there. I got to thinking about this. I'll be real brief, but I want everybody to stay tuned with me. Y'all give me 3 minutes and stay tuned real tight. I want to tell you, first of all, she was unwanted by society. When she walked to the Walmart, nobody was glad to see her. They didn't run up and welcome her. Her hair was undone. She had an alabaster box. The Bible never calls her a prostitute, but in all reality, that's what she was. They looked at her life, and when they seen her coming, they went to the other side of the street. I'm not even sure. I mean, the Levite, and I'll promise you, and the priest wouldn't have helped this lady. Be that kind of lady that when you seen coming, you know, that all the wives grabbed their husbands and they held them a little tighter. Nobody cared much about having her around. But despite what she was, everybody listen to me real good, would you? This is what the Bible says about it. The Bible says Christ, they told Christ, they said, oh, Simon in his heart said, If he knew who she was, yep, kind of sinner this woman was, she wouldn't let him touch him. Boy, I'm telling you, Jerry, I got to reading that, and the Holy Ghost got real big in my heart. I'll say, number one, he was right. He did know what she was. You know what else he knew? What she would be.
Yeah, amen. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
See, old Simon could only see her past. Yeah. Boy, she's getting a hold of one right there, could see her future. Amen, thank God. She's a hold of one right there who didn't just know what she was yesterday, but she's getting a hold of one that said, I can change everything that's going to happen from this day forward. Amen. That's a friend. Unwanted by society. She was uninvited to Simon's house. Didn't want her in church. Praise God. She couldn't have got there. Old Simon sitting around, he said, who brought you in here? You ain't never felt like that, have you, I hope? Get to sitting in the house of God. This lady knew she wasn't invited. She wasn't the kind of people folks go knock on their door to invite. I found this in my days in ministry. We usually invite people we think already go to church. Amen. Y'all know that's right. You see them at the restaurant, they're in the suit, and you say, hey, won't you come to church with me sometime? No, stop doing that and go down to the trailer park. Stop doing that. Go down to the jailhouse. Bring in the folks. And when they come in, you say, brother, nobody wants them here. They just one does, whether anybody else does or not. This church ever gets to a place where we don't care about sinners, we've lost our objective. She's unwanted by society. She's uninvited by Simon. I believe this. She's unsatisfied by herself. You know why she's there that day? Because despite Kevin, what she is trying to portray on the outside, on the inside, she was missing something and she needed a friend.
Yes.
Here's the reality. Everybody look at me. I promise you, I'm about done preaching. I got to thinking about this, and Callie, I don't know if I ever hardly thought about it just like this, honey. I got to thinking about this. If I'd have been in that house that day, I wonder if I'd have been her friend. And you know what the truth is? I wish I couldn't say this. But I got to thinking in myself, and probably, Brother Jones, I'd probably been like Simon. I'd say, she don't deserve to be here. I don't really want her around me. Boy, there's a God. The Lord Jesus Christ. The very Son of God Himself. God in the flesh. He looked over at her and He didn't care what nobody else thought. I know you're unwanted by society, you're uninvited by Simon, you're unsatisfied in yourself. But you're in the right place. Y'all listen to me. She was in the right place. She broke out from where she was that day and she got a hold of a friend that's been with her to the very end. And all the Pharisees could say, he is a friend of sinners. You know what I want to thank God for this morning? He's a friend to sinners. Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. I don't know where you're at. I really felt the help of the Holy Ghost this morning. I don't know where you stand. I don't know how this morning finds you. Maybe you're undeserving. You're in that place where you're feeling unworthy. Remember, maybe you don't even know how good God is. Lisa comes, Donnie comes, Josh, whoever's going to do the singing. I don't